to the Pinnacle 5 podcast series. I'm Summer Yeiser, host of this series of information and advice on financial topics. For this podcast, we'll be discussing the 5 frequently asked questions about Tennessee inheritance tax law. This is a timely topic since the federal estate tax has been in the news so frequently and also very controversial in Congress. Most of us know, though, even less about how Tennessee taxes an estate. So we are pleased to have with us today Chris Kelly, who is a financial advisor with Pinnacle's Trust and Wealth Management team. Chris is also an attorney with 18 years' experience.
Hello, Summer. I appreciate you having me on today. The recent discussions about the federal taxes has really given folks a misconception about the state of estate taxes in Tennessee. While we know that there is no federal tax, a lot of folks don't realize that Tennessee never has dropped its inheritance tax. So as a result, this year we frequently have had conversations with clients where we're the first ones ever telling them that they do have a Tennessee tax to be concerned about. Even though we're all interested in what's going on federally, locally, we also have to be aware. Over the last year, a lot of the questions have revolved around how is the inheritance tax in Tennessee assessed, who has to file it, how does the return actually get filed, what is the tax burden, and then, of course, the most important thing is how do I avoid it or at least reduce it.
Well, Chris, our first frequently asked question is, if you inherit any assets, how does Tennessee assess these assets for tax purposes?
Well, much like the federal system, Tennessee will require the executor or the administrator of an estate to determine how much that person owned on their date of death. The executor has to decide all the property that somebody owned, what the deceased person's interest was in each property, and then come up with a market value. And that market value is as of the person's date of death. There usually comes a lot of questions on some different types of property, in particular real estate, as far as how to assess those properties. As we all know, with the downturn in the real estate market, many folks are concerned about the accurate determination of market value. So depending on the size of the estate, the person may need to actually engage the services of a real estate appraiser to assess their real property. For marketable securities such as stocks and bonds, there's a system in place where the executor can go and they get the mean values on those different types of securities. So it kind of gives you an average, but all of it's keyed into that person's date of death. And then basically the executor administrator has to just come up with a current list and then do the math, and there's your total. And then from there, Tennessee does allow a $1 million exemption, but anything over $1 million, the estate will have to pay a tax on that.
Okay. Well, Chris, our second question is, does everyone who inherits assets have to file a return? And what about children?
That's a great question, because we have a lot of folks who are really concerned. They may call us and say that their aunt or uncle or parents have passed away and they're about to receive an inheritance, and they want to know what the tax impact is going to be on them. But in reality, all of the inheritance taxes are dealt with at the estate level. Before property actually transfers out of the estate to an individual, the estate has to pay the taxes. So once somebody has inherited it, we basically tell them it's kind of your net inheritance, that you don't have to file anything. It's not an income tax issue for you, nor is it a gift tax or an inheritance tax. There really isn't anything special about children. Again, a lot of folks will believe that there may be something exempt when it comes to children, but they're treated just like everyone else. And so again, as a result, if they're inheriting assets from their parents, if it is a taxable estate, that tax would have been dealt with at the estate level. So once somebody gets their hands on an inheritance, it's theirs, and they don't have to worry about any tax consequences for them individually.
Well, Chris, our third question is, can you explain to us how the filing the return works?
Sure. The Tennessee Department of Revenue has two forms, actually. There's one for estates that are less than $1 million, and then there's one for estates greater than $1 million. And again, the $1 million is kind of the magic number. If you pass away with less than $1 million in Tennessee, then there is no inheritance tax. So the executor, working with their accountant and attorney, will determine which is the best form to file. and then basically follow the instructions on that particular return. If you do have a taxable estate, there are some things that have to be included with it. The instructions that the Tennessee Department of Revenue gives us are very clear, but there are things, if you do have a real estate appraisal done, that appraisal needs to be included and attached, a copy of the will, just some basic information that the Department of Revenue will want to take a look at. The deadline for filing is 9 months after somebody has passed away, so it's pretty important that after someone's passed away that the executor gets the estate in motion and kind of begins the process of gathering this information, because 9 months will go pretty quickly, as you might imagine. Sometimes it's difficult for family members just because of going through the natural grieving process and everything their family may be dealing with, but if they're in the hands of a professional, an attorney or an accountant, they can help them meet these deadlines and still be sensitive to family issues. The one thing about the deduction that a lot of folks, again, they may know that there's $1 million tax, but there are some deductions that go against the tax return as well. The appraisal fees, funeral expenses, final debts of the decedent, those kinds of items actually do help the family out from a standpoint, is if there is a tax, the tax is reduced by the amount that the family has paid out for basically the administrative cost of getting the estate tidied up and ready for distribution.
Okay, and Chris, for my fourth question for you, what about tax on property?
Well, there are different kinds of property that Tennessee looks at. You have tangible property, which is the dirt that we live on, the stuff in our house, farm equipment, things we can actually touch, and then you do have intangible property as well. All of these items, if you're a Tennessee resident, all of these items are included for your in determining what the inheritance tax is. For joint property, and that's where, you know, most of us, if you're married, you may have your spouse on an account. A lot of times even older folks will put their children's name on accounts just to make it easier if something were to happen to where their children can actually write checks for them or take care of their matters. A lot of folks think that if it's in joint property name, or if the property's in a joint name, then it actually doesn't have a tax assessed against it. But again, when the state looks at it, they look at all the property and what the interest of that person is. So, for example, if you had a checking account with a spouse, then half of that would be assessed against your inheritance tax. Again, part of the misconception, I think, comes in because with joint property, even though you may not have to go through probate court to transfer joint property, it still is assessed for taxes. Many times, somebody can actually set up their estate in a way that they don't actually have to go to probate court. If you've used beneficiary designations like on your IRA or life insurance or things like that effectively, you may be able to avoid probate. But as far as Tennessee tax purposes, it doesn't matter if the property is under the control of your local probate court. If the person owned it, then it has to be included. And again, that would include items like IRAs, life insurance, and so forth. So joint property is a special category, but it still has to be accounted for.
And Chris, our fifth and final question relates to reducing the tax burden. Can a person give away property before death, or are there any steps they can take with their estate plans to reduce or eliminate this tax?
They absolutely can. In fact, we spend much of our time within our trust areas. We're advising clients on exactly what steps they can take to reduce or otherwise eliminate taxes. Now, during a person's lifetime, you do have to be aware that there are some rules that limit how much you can actually give away to a person in one calendar year. Now, between spouses, it's an unlimited exclusion. So between a husband and wife, they can move assets without any issue. But when it comes to anybody else in the world, children, grandchildren, best friends, Tennessee has a limit of $13,000 per calendar year per person. We do work with a lot of clients where they're making systematic gifts in order to reduce these kinds of taxes. They just simply have to be aware of not exceeding the $13,000 per calendar year per donor. And basically the way that works, a husband and wife could give $13,000 each to the same person. So with part of an effective plan, a couple can give $26,000 to each child or each grandchild that they may want to give this gift to. Now, the one hang-up a lot of folks have, of course, is if you do gift it, then you do lose control of it. So they do have to balance their desire to save taxes and their desire to control their money. Now, the second part of the question you asked was about if a person can do anything as part of their estate plan. And we use the term estate plan, but we do kind of pause and say that even if you may not have a taxable estate, it's important to have an estate plan. There are lots of other reasons to do your planning beyond just taxes, but if you do have a taxable estate, then you can effectively use trusts within your will, within your revocable living trust, and as part of your whole plan. It's kind of a complicated strategy, but your advisor can work with you on it to where basically you can establish some trusts, and they're not created until you pass away. Your spouse or your loved ones, they get the benefit of that trust during their lifetime, but then with special provisions in the trust language, it would actually pass outside of your estate and effectively reduce, or in a lot of cases even eliminate, the tax completely. I know we've also have a podcast with one of my colleagues, Keith Davis, where he spoke in more detail about estate planning, and I would encourage our listeners to listen to that as well as Keith goes into more detail about some of those specific steps.
Chris, I'm going to recap what my takeaways have been from what you've shared with us today. The first being that the services of an advisor are important when settling an estate to help determine its value. You've also helped me to better understand who has to file, what the filing includes, the specifics of property tax for a variety of situations, as well as there are steps that we could take within our own estate plans to help reduce the tax burden. Chris, thanks so much for helping us to understand these facts about Tennessee law, and thank you to everyone for listening to this Pinnacle 5 podcast. I encourage our listeners to check out the podcast on estate planning that Chris mentioned. It's an important part of handling your tax planning and liability. And learn more about all of this at Pinnacle's Online Learning Center at pnfp.com.